Best way possible to handle gun violence is to handle a gun? Huh? Stand up, sit down, rebel teacher tackles the Kaepernick. Fight, fight, fight. Let's bust some pencils.
This is Busted Pencils Radio, fully leaded education talk with Dr. Tim Slecker. Here's what's trending in education news.
From newsok.com, National School Choice Group opposing teacher candidates, teacher pay raise supporters. And from newyorkmagazine.com, the Daily Intelligencer, we have Oklahoma teachers just purged the state house of their enemies. And surprise, Stick is back.
Yay!
Hey, Stick. So look, wanted to put these two stories together because it's Oklahoma.
Yep.
Betsy DeVos, it's teachers, it's politics, it's everything Busted Pencils does.
It really has the stamp of Busted Pencils on
it. It's truly a Busted Pencils. But I love it because it goes together. It's like a part one and a part two.
It was a really nice one-two-part series,
right?
For sure.
Because in the first, we have the National School Choice Group, which used to be headed by Betsy DeVos.
I like the name of their group.
Yes.
It sounds really positive.
The American Federation for Children.
Yes.
So you know they're good.
Absolutely.
They're for children.
And they're a federation for Americans.
And Americans Federations for Children.
I love it.
How can you go wrong?
Right?
Except that they spend all of their money trying to defeat anything that has to do with public schools.
I did. That confused me a little bit. I was trying to figure out.
So for what children are you your federation is America are you defending America for?
I reading through the article.
Yeah, choice and voucher children.
Yes,
let's be honest, okay,
it is.
But here's the issue here at play. Okay, big money group Betsy DeVos. Remember, billionaire, not millionaire, but the what's his name said, $1 billion.
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Evil, right?
Yes, this,
we're talking billionaire. Her group decides we're going to throw money at politics, and we now know that's legal.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that, according to, because corporations we know are living, breathing, sold entities, according to the Supreme Court.
And they can be punished accordingly, of
course. And so they can dump a ton of money into elections. What's great here is that they're dumping money because a bunch of teachers in Oklahoma decided to run for office. Now, we could go to the next story and say that that's part two, but there's actually a part one before the part one, because you got to say, why?
Yeah, why are they going to run for
office?
Why
are these teachers, do they not have enough to do? Are they not getting enough shameful pay that they would want to run for office? But actually, that's at the heart of it, because just last year, Oklahoma, with a bunch of other red states, teachers went out on strike demanding more pay.
Yep.
And demanding a lot of other things, and we're successful on some of the pay, but a lot of the people against them found this offensive that the teachers went out on strike asking for better living conditions. But the other twist to the story comes back when the teacher said, you know what? If we're going to get what we really want, we need to get billionaire people like Betsy DeVos or some of the people in Oklahoma making billions off of fracking, which kind of sets their state up for earthquakes.
They are the new earthquake capital of the world.
Right. So don't move to Oklahoma right now if you want to avoid earthquakes.
Yeah.
Okay. Man-made earthquakes.
Correct.
Well, maybe the science is still out on whether the man has made these earthquakes or not. I mean, fracking is, even though it's a man-made type of activity, we're not sure if that's what's really causing the earthquakes.
Yeah, we can't prove
or disprove. Science is not clear yet. But anyway, but people have made billions because they don't tax fracking.
Yeah.
Now, as an ex-Pennsylvania resident, I know this story because in Pennsylvania, a Democratic governor invited the frackers, and that's not a bad word.
No.
Okay. These are people who, you know, split the earth, suck the stuff out of it, and then leave and make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, our governor before I left there, Ed Rendell, why would we want to tax these job creators? Well, guess what? They left big holes in the ground and destroyed all the roads that they brought in all this heavy equipment. Maybe we could have at least taxed them to pay for the damages they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but anyway, back to the story. Oklahoma, through the Republican legislature, was very upset and said, we're not going to tax these people. We're not going to give you teachers what you want. Teachers come back in and say, fine, we're going to run for office.
Yeah.
Out of the 10 slots they ran, how many?
How many won?
Six won, a seventh almost won.
Oh, wow.
Republicans who, all of them, who were against the teachers are all out. And who were supporting the frackers. And again, we're not using a bad word there.
Yeah.
The frackers. Okay. The fracking supporters. The fracking supporters. The fracking supporters or the fracking? The fracking supporters were ousted.
Good.
And now teachers are going to be part of the legislature.
And I think that's a good thing, but I think there should be equal representative from a lot of different job sectors in government just to, you know, get a good idea of what's going on.
Well, it does. It gives us, as the one article points out, this is the teachers gave the legislators their first real lesson in American civics, mm-hmm. which is, guess what? It's an American democracy of the people, by the people, for the people. And guess who are people? Teachers.
Yeah.
Along with corporations. But teachers are also people, and they can run for office.
Yes.
And they can win.
And they did win.
And they can change things. And so for the teachers out there who are listening to Busted Pencils in these other states where you're imagining, and in fact, well, a few interviews back, we talked to a woman from Kentucky. Now, she didn't win, Gay Adelman, but she ran for office. I, as you just said, teachers, how about firemen?
Yeah, absolutely.
How about people who work the register at Walmart?
Yep.
There is a good there are as good of representatives as frackers.
Yep. And lawyers and career politicians, probably even better than the career politicians.
You would not like, you mean like, not like Scott Walker in Wisconsin?
No, no.
Since he didn't graduate college, has only been in politics his entire life.
Yeah, not anything like that, of course.
I mean, what, he's professional.
And the like what the argument is that they understand how government works so they can get things done quicker and more efficiently, right. But it never seems
they
to work out that way.
They can get things done quicker and more efficiently for fracking companies if you're in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
But they can't get things done quicker and more efficiently for teachers who need extra jobs to pay for their kids' food and who – and most of these teachers who end up paying for supplies for their classrooms because the state doesn't give the schools enough money to pay for their supplies anyway. So, again, now these legislators, well, hey, teachers, you know what we say at Busted Pencils? Good luck. Kick some butt. Watch out for those frackers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And let's see you do some good for us. Thank you, teachers.
Yeah, teachers are the best.
From onewisconsinnow.org. Brad Schimmel wants to put guns in schools in the, quote, best way possible. Madison, Wisconsin, Brad Schimmel, Wisconsin's National Rifle Association-backed attorney general said that, hey, if we're going to have guns, I want to put them in teachers' hands in the best way possible. Stick, what could go wrong?
I don't think anything could possibly go wrong because he's got the best way possible in mind.
Right, and the best way possible of giving teachers guns would be letting the NRA have the right to give you the right to give teachers guns.
That's convoluted, I feel like, but yeah.
So in other words, so for me to stay in office as Brad Schimmel, as the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin, one of the reasons I want teachers to have guns in the best way possible is because the best way possible is to give them guns, because if not, NRA doesn't give me any money for reelection.
Oh, so this isn't about Wisconsin students or safety or teachers' safety. It's about reelection.
I have a tough time thinking that it's anything other than that, because we've talked about this on this show. We've talked to many experts about this, the idea of arming teachers, that we can't find any experts out there. So when Brad Schimmel talks about the, quote, best way possible, we already know there is no best way.
Yeah.
All right? And so we have to then think, well, then, Brad, what's your motive? Is it the safety of the children? Because there isn't an expert out there that says arming teachers makes kids safer. It only We've only found experts that say actually the introduction of a gun in a classroom makes kids not as safe.
And that's not good.
That's not good.
No, I want the kids to be safe.
We want kids to be safe.
Yeah.
But here you know, but NRA, check the link, though. You got to go back. Betsy DeVos, though, thanks God for Betsy, pulls this out again, though. Where is Brad going to get this? Well, there is money coming from the Federal Department of Education under Betsy DeVos's idea that arming teachers would be a good safety measure. So Brad taking his cue from Betsy and then making sure that the NRA continues filling his coffers says, best way possible, let's get guns in the hands of teachers. At Busted Pencils, we say, Brad Schimmel, there is no best way possible other than seeing you voted out one day soon.
Bam!
We are Busting Pencils!
Welcome to Busted Pencils, Annalise Eicher and Joanna Beilman-Doolin from One Wisconsin Now. One Wisconsin Now. So, Annalise, first, what's your job there?
I am the program director over at One Wisconsin Now.
Okay, and what does a program director at One Wisconsin Now do?
Well, at One Wisconsin Now, I get to work on a variety of issues, mainly the student debt crisis. We're looking at solutions, how to deal with the $1.5 trillion that we have in our country. And the other thing I get to work on is voting rights, which is a lot of fun.
Is it cool that I own part of that debt, or that's not debt you want to own, right?
Well, the debt probably means that you tried at some point or completed at some point, getting a higher education, right, or job training.
But I'm still paying for it.
Yes, a lot of us are, actually.
Yeah, at 51, I have to say I'm still paying back my ability to call myself Dean of the School of Education.
So oof.
It's like I'm renting that title.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. So you're stuck with that debt until you're done.
So then you're coming on for another show where we could talk about student debt.
I would love that.
Awesome. All right. And then, Joanna, what is your job at One Wisconsin Now?
Sure. I am the research director at One Wisconsin Now.
Oh, so you're the Google.com person.
Exactly. That's my job description.
All research now has devolved into do Google search.
Well, I wouldn't say that that's all the research. It's a good starting point. But no, I get to do a lot of different kinds of research. Okay. I do a lot of open records requests and work and sort of trying to be creative about what sort of information is available. Right. How can we get the information that is going to be helpful to know what's going on in our government, and then communicate that out to.
So Annalise is doing a report or doing something on student debt, and she's like, I need good facts. That's when you step in.
Well, if it's student debt, Annalise can hold her own. She is the expert on that issue for
okay.
sure.
Okay. So, I like how we call them open records requests, because mm-hmm. sometimes they tell us no.
Sometimes they do tell us no.
I'm always confused by that one because it's called an open record. Mm-hmm. How do they get to say no?
Well, there are guidelines in state law basically saying that
open records aren't open sometimes.
Well, you have to be strategic about how you phrase an open records request. If you ask for every email for the last 10 years regarding anything and everything, that's going to be deemed too burdensome.
Okay.
But if you tailor a request to a particular time period or a particular subject, then it helps the person who is gathering the records to have something that's actually possible to get. Now, that's not to say that they don't sometimes get I would say a little too creative in saying, oh, that's too hard.
Right.
Or, oh, that's going to be too burdensome.
That's beyond.
Or let's redact every other word in this document.
Yes.
Oh, great. We'll give you this document. It will be all in black.
Yes.
With black highlighter.
Yeah.
So, okay, great. Yeah. So One Wisconsin Now, though, I mean, what's the primary focus? What's going on there?
Sure. So we're at the heart of it. We're an advocacy organization. Mm-hmm. We have things that we care about, and we do research on those things, and then we communicate about those things.
It's political.
Yeah.
Mostly, right?
For the most part, you know, we like to take a close look at what our elected officials are up to, particularly the ones in our state government.
Holding them accountable.
Yeah, we do a lot of accountability work, I'd say.
and some people would characterize, you're left leaning.
Yeah, we've been. We've been called a number of things. Most recently, a liberal.
Keep a lot of those to yourself.
Yeah,
okay,
well,
because they're not good to be heard on radio.
Radio okay. appropriate. Okay. The most recent one was a liberal attack group.
Okay.
You
not
know,
an attack dog.
Not an attack dog. An
Just
attack
a group.
Group.
Okay.
But you know, we're liberal individuals. It's kind of our life view. But. You know, it really is about accountability and bringing certain issues and certain pieces of information to light and being able to hold folks accountable. And so if telling the truth and putting out facts and, you know, sort of ripping the cover off and really showing what's going on makes us an attack group, then okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Right. You'll take the badge of honor.
Yes.
Because someone has to do it, and someone has to hold these people accountable. And so, thank you for coming in. But I wanted people to get a chance to know about it, because there's a ton of great work that One Wisconsin Now is doing to get out there. Because believe it or not, listener, some of our politicians don't like to tell us everything they should or where they're coming from or maybe even who they're really representing. And so it's nice to have attack groups like you guys. Okay,
Accountability groups.
Yeah. Well, holding their feet to the fire. Well, so what really caught my interest, but we got to back up, though, was a little bit of work you guys have been doing on Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel.
Boo.
Boo. But for us on Busted Pencils, this has a deeper connection even further back, because this goes, and we've been following this. I mean, we're talking about school violence in schools. It's mm-hmm. horrendous. Mm-hmm. On this show, we've interviewed parents of Parkland survivors. You know, mm-hmm. we have put out there, we've interviewed teachers about this issue, about, you know, what should and shouldn't be done. And you know, without a doubt, you talk to anybody who has any sense in this or who've been, God forbid, affected by it. Mm-hmm. You know, the issue is, look, we need sensible gun laws, some type of reform. And what are we getting from our leaders currently right now? So Betsy DeVos announces that let's go with the crazy, which we've reported on the news many times about the crazy arming teachers, but she's for real and putting money forward about this. So at the national level, the person in charge of public education is advocating, instead of, you know, like blankets for homeless kids in the winter, guns for teachers to shoot what, this is what we've also said, what is going to probably be one of your students.
Yeah.
Which is even, you know, so there we are. Now go to Wisconsin. And the advocacy for this continues.
Yeah, I mean that's really the scary thing here in Wisconsin. You know, days after the Parkland shooting, Attorney General Schimmel was saying that we ought to be discussing arming teachers. He was very open to that. And even just last week, he was interviewed and he said, "I'll help make sure that's done in the best way possible." Meaning, getting
what is the best way possible to arm a teacher?
By not doing it,
or
giving them resources to actually teach in their classrooms, like that kind of arm.
I mean, I think we're going to go there when we'll talk about that more specifically, right? Because that's the reality. But I mean, so he's making a statement. Mm-hmm. How to best do this? And I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Is there best practice in arming teachers that you're drawing this from, or is this NRA propaganda crap?
Yeah, it has seemed to be something that he is far too open to. He is far too much a proponent of, because as you say, you know, I'm a parent of young children, and it horrifies me to think that there would be more guns in schools, that there would be guns in schools. That doesn't make me feel safer. That makes me feel far less safe and far more concerned for my kids. And yet this is a politician who is very tightly connected to the NRA. Mm-hmm. On his second day in office as Attorney General, he opened his doors to the NRA to come into the, you know, the Attorney General's office.
You're not metaphorically speaking.
No, literally. Okay. Literally, he had the NRA in his office his second day as Attorney General.
Were they a shrimp cocktail or something?
Goodness, I wasn't invited to that one.
One Wisconsin Now was not invited.
No.
Okay, the open door was not for One Wisconsin Now.
No.
Okay.
But he certainly has shown that he will stand with the NRA and their policy wishes and their requests at every point along the way. The NRA is a huge donor to supporters of his in this current election cycle. The Republican Attorneys General Association just this week launched a $2.5 million ad buy, TV ad buy and media ad buy here in Wisconsin in his support. The NRA was their second largest donor in 2017. So this is coming at Wisconsin children, Wisconsin families, Wisconsin teachers from every direction. And Attorney General Schimmel is just happy to have that be the case.
We are lucky to have in the studio from One Wisconsin Now, Annalise and Joanna. We were talking about Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Literally on the second day he was elected, opening the door to the NRA. Now, you guys had a piece out about a week and a half ago, though. Brad Schimmel wants to put guns in schools in the best way possible. We were talking about that. What's up with that? Who's first? Annalise.
Well, he really didn't elaborate outside of the best way possible. So I don't know if it's Betsy DeVos that has some ideas that are going to come down on high from Washington, D.C., or if the NRA has some secret plan about arming teachers. But we don't really know what this supposed best way possible to arm teachers with guns is.
Right.
I'm the daughter of two educators. And so when I think, okay,
that
well.
Makes you disqualified to speak on education.
Oh, does it? Okay. Well. You're thinking about, you know, arming teachers and, you know, there was the whole Walker piece about giving public workers and teachers the tools to succeed. You know, it's education funding, in our public schools. It's certainly not, you know, here's a gun, figure out how to way to secure it into your classroom. And then, God forbid, you need to use it. Good luck trying to.
I'm going to cut services for basic services in education, but we're going to find money to get guns and arm you.
Yes. The best way possible.
Okay, so you hinted at this, though, from whether this best way possible thing is some amorphous issue, right? Because there's no guidelines that say, if you're going to arm teachers, and I'm part of a lot of education groups, and I've not seen any of them release the arming teachers in the best way possible guidelines.
Do you not cover that in the School of Education? Do you not have a class?
We do not have a class on how to prepare yourself to be armed when you become a teacher. So way possible, Joanna.
Well, and you know, again, I mentioned I've got two young kids in the first segment, and I cannot for the life of me figure out how this would be feasible, how it would be safer. To have a gun in a schoolroom with kids in kindergarten, with kids in first grade. I mean, I left a bottle of sprinkles on the counter over the weekend, and all of a sudden my daughter had snuck the thing up to her bedroom and basically eaten the entire thing of sprinkles.
Right.
That was with me and my two children. This isn't even a classroom with
25 to 30.
An ever-increasing number.
Right, an ever-increasing number.
It just is ludicrous.
Okay, so the reality of the best way possible, I mean, we've talked to different people on the show. We've covered different news stories on the show from police officers who have said up front, look, this is not a good idea, arming teachers. You know, the training required to get in a situation to be the good guy that takes out the bad guy with the gun. It's just not feasible when you think about it, because it's just, that's not a teacher's job.
No, it's not. But it does make...
Yeah, I was going to say, so why is he insisting on... I mean, and Walker, too. Walker's behind DeVos, Walker, Trump, Schimmel. I mean, armed teachers.
Well, you know, if you think back to the $3.5 million that the NRA mm-hmm. has invested in Scott Walker
Since the very first time that he ran and won for office, mm-hmm. the NRA has been investing in him, and he's been in for 25 years now.
Right. So that would not have any influence on the best way possible, would be by giving guns, because that money this is where we so this is one Wisconsin Now doing your work, which is here, readers, you might want to know so and so got this amount of money from this group, and now so and so advocates this group's position.
Yeah, and it's, you know, especially with someone like Scott Walker, you know, he has a track record of pay-to-play politics. I mean, he is definitely beholden to, you know, the interests of his donors. You know, he's got, you know, millions of dollars being, you know, spent on his behalf from, you know, all sorts of groups. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to hear that there's, over his 25 years in office, $3.5 million from the NRA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he signed, you know, Stand Your Ground into law. He signed a number of other, you know, pro-gun measures into law, and also cuts to education.
Right.
And so combining all of that, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know whose best way possible it is, but my guess is that Walker and Schimmel will turn to the NRA mm-hmm. and to Betsy DeVos, who's, you know, just as beholden, and say, okay, NRA, what should we do?
Right. And what would we do? I mean, this is you know, and we've seen glimpses of this, you know, because mm-hmm. it would be a certain select group of teachers that, you know, are up to the challenge, is the way I've heard it, you know, and they'd go through hours of training, and the gun would be locked away secure in an awesomely tight place. And the first person I talked to said that it was like, okay, and so then when the active shooter comes in, I've got to remember 3 to the left, 12 to the right, 13, pull down the safety, get the, oh, mm-hmm. I'm dead. Okay, well, so the silliness of arming a teacher and then locking it away safely.
Yeah. My question with us is, when are our teachers going to have time to receive this hours upon hours of training that they will need in order to be able to, you know, use a gun in their classroom?
Well, they get pay raises if they get credentialed to be a gun-carrying teacher. Probably not.
Will they get paid for the training?
Will they get paid for the training? Or will get okay. No, but I mean, back to, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the scary thing is we don't have these specifics, and there aren't these specifics being talked about. I think what we see is moments of unintended honesty by Brad Schimmel about being open to and willing to and, you know, putting guns in schools, arming teachers. Then people find out what he really is planning, and they're horrified, and he tries to walk it back with these, well, it would only be in this circumstance and only with these particular
teachers.
When they
find out what he's planning, what you really mean is when they find out that he has no plan
right.
other than to accept the money and
right.
take the politically favored position, which is to advocate for teachers with guns, but the planning of implementation is, mm-hmm. oh, crap, I don't know. I mean— Yeah, mm-hmm. some professional must know how to do this. I'm just an attorney general giving away.
Well, and again, the entire premise of arming teachers in the best way possible. You know, he must not have been in a school with little kids for a while,
right.
Because it's, you know, a school with any kids, that's just outrageous. But particularly, again, I've got two little ones myself. My daughter just started 4K yesterday, and it baffles me. There's no way to do that safely. And as a parent, it does not make me feel safer. It is just outrageous.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to know what the plans would be to right. arm teachers. Like, I don't know that I want those details.
Right. Well, I was just thinking of the way one of the ways Barbara put this. If we talked about arming, and let's use this in a different way, more metaphorical, teachers in the best way, we would be arming them with reduction in class sizes, more social workers in the school, the ability to feed hungry kids as they come in. You know, those are the things that would be the best way, not because it's such a diehard bleeding liberal position, but from the other side, as an academic, which I do actually have that title, we actually have mounds and mounds of research that says, if you want to help in these situations, this is what you do. None of it says arm your teachers. We could go on so much with this, but Joanna, Annalise, more about One Wisconsin Now. Where can I go? I mean, onewisconsinnow.org.
Yeah, onewisconsinnow.org has a host of information on it. Right now, we are promoting our Scott Walker Air Project, which details Scott Walker's many travels around the state of Wisconsin in the state plane. How many flights, Joanna?
We are up to 904. I'm blank. There's so
over
many.
Over 900 flights.
Yeah, it is so many. I mean,
has he flown from Madison to Verona yet?
Oh, not yet, but he's taken a number of short flights.
Madison to Watertown, Appleton to Green Bay, you know, some really just Kenosha to Milwaukee.
Hey, look, the traffic sometimes is hard to beat. And when you're an important person, you need to be where you need to be on time. And that's flying at taxpayers' expense.
Of course.
And you know, connecting back to our conversation, this is a governor who got picked up in Milwaukee and flown to an NRA convention in central Wisconsin, which, again, you can find more on our website.
Well, then maybe he knows at that convention what the best way possible was, and he's just waiting to hopefully or not hopefully.
Yeah, I don't know that we got the agenda for that convention, but.
All right. Well, check it out, though. Brad Schimmel wants to put guns in schools in the best possible way on onewisconsinnow.org. Joanna, Annalise, thank you so much. I hope you can come back again and talk to us more about holding those in power accountable, because somebody needs to do it. Thank you for busting pencils.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Tim.
We are Busting Pencils!
Woo! Nike's going to make Colin Kaepernick from the San Francisco 79ers the new face of their campaign, all because he likes to take a little knee during the national anthem. And that pisses me off. You know, he didn't sacrifice nothing. All he did was use his celebrity status to shine light on an injustice in our world, all while doing it in a peaceful and nonviolent way. And I've chosen to take that message and completely misinterpret it, you know, because he's disrespecting the flag. That's what he's doing. You know, because everybody knows it's more important to have a song for America than it is to actually care about Americans. That's the truth. And he's disrespecting the troops, too. You know, remember the troops? We send them off to war and they come home and we forget about them. You know, what more could you want? You know, maybe adequate physical and mental health care to lead a happy and fulfilled life. But at least we stand during the national anthem to show that they're heroes. You know, at least we do that.
He is the awesome social studies teacher from around Los Angeles, California. We know him as the Rebel Teacher. Rebel Teacher, welcome back to Busted Pencils, man.
Always a pleasure.
So it's been a while since you've written anything, but that's okay. I understand. I mean, teachers got to work and got to make money and stuff, you know. But I want to refer back to something you wrote actually almost a year ago at this time, Why You Mad, Taking a Knee, and White Rage in Post-Racial America. What were you writing about then?
Well, I was writing about, you know, what I saw then and what I see now is a the response to Colin Kaepernick from certain elements in white America that the guy in the YouTube video was making fun of pretty much.
Let's introduce this right. So you're Colin Kaepernick of the San Francisco 79ers.
Yes, sir.
All right. No, I mean, you wrote about the protesting in the knee and taking that. And, I mean, it's the issue at that time a year ago was, look, this isn't about the flag.
Right.
All right.
It's a thin veil for a what they call the culture war. It's a very thin veil for that.
Right.
And it's very racist undertones.
But, you know, it's now, you know, we've got a new level to this because Nike got into the picture and picked Colin as kind of like their you know, the man, the just do it person. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to you before the show, I said it's an interesting discussion now to watch people kind of say, well, what does this mean? Whether it's crazy rednecks out burning their Nikes, mm-hmm. or whether it's other people questioning whether Colin's motive is still pure now. I can't mm-hmm. figure this out. And I was wondering, though, your main job as a teacher, because I know you teach these things, mm-hmm. social studies, how do we interpret when a kid comes up and says, Mr. Rebel, I don't know if I like Colin anymore.
Mm. Well, I'd say that media is a very important tool. And the movement needs the media as well. And I think this situation is a great opportunity, though I do have my issues with Nike. But my issues with Nike are my issues with, you know, global capitalism in general. Not necessarily particular to Nike. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a great opportunity to put Cap's message out there. And I don't view Kaepernick as any less credible for Nike getting behind him. Nike is serving their own interests. Mm-hmm. And I think Kaepernick is sincere. And those two things just happen to, just cross paths. You know, in a perfect way.
Well, so we get Nike here, and that's what I was saying. Some of the criticism I've seen is like, mm-hmm. look, Nike's, you know, using Colin here for mm-hmm. for capitalist exploitation, and then on the other hand, people are saying, well, you know what? Actually, first of all, check the contract. Colin's had a mm-hmm. contract with Nike way before this.
Correct.
All right, this idea of exploiting, but then I've heard look, this is just Colin being smart and recognizing here's an opportunity to get this message out there even stronger.
There you go. That's where I am. That's exactly where I am with it.
Really? Okay.
That's exactly where I am.
So when a
but
kid,
we should have no illusions. We shouldn't see Nike as some ally in the struggle. We should recognize this for what it is. This is an opportunity. You know, that happened to pop up. This does not mean that, you know, on the other hand, when nobody's looking, they're giving money to Republican campaigns and giving, law enforcement discounts and things of that nature. So
right.
We recognize that they're serving their interests, but I think this is a moment that should be seized upon.
Well, so that's kind of this issue that we talk about here. You just pointed this out. I mean, we're not going to make any bones about it. I mean, Nike has not been, let's say, a partner in you know, the struggle that you have been fighting, you know, for as a teacher, as a man of color, as a person who's been trying to be part of this resistance. I mean, Nike's not been a friend.
That's correct.
But, you know, on top of that, though, the golden teaching opportunity here about talking about the dual purposes sometimes people might have to serve to make a case, or am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, man, look, if Nike or whoever could see in the future, wait, you know, back in Muhammad Ali's time or John Carlos and Tommy Smith during this era, if they could see in the future that history would be kind to them, they would have paid Ali and Tommy Smith and John Carlos as well. So, you know, I think they're making a smart business move to be, you know, to be relevant and to be edgy. But, yeah, they're definitely not, a partner in the struggle long term.
What about this? Does this open them up now, though, to the discussion of are you going to do more now?
Well, yeah, I've heard that already in discussion with, you know, with people personally and on the internet. That's the thing. Well, what are they going to turn around and do for the community? And the point is, look, whatever they're going to do is some kind of, you know, PR. I mean, Nike is not going to contribute to dismantling a system that that serves it and has served it very well. So, you know, whatever they happen to do, it's a calculated business move, and we should view it as such. But if it happens to be beneficial at the time, like I believe Nike getting behind Kaepernick is, then, you know, we should see it as that. But, you know, we definitely shouldn't be, you know, hitching on to Nike or depending on them to do anything that's outside of their interest.
So then back to the flag. Now is, you know, Nike, are they taking a legitimate hit by the people, you know, going out and spending a couple hundred dollars to actually destroy their shoes and things like that? I mean, you know.
Well, man, right now there's a demographic and there's, I think, a cultural shift, and I think it's positive. And I think Nike is trying to get, you know, ahead of the curve, you know, so to speak. And they may lose a chunk of their supporters, but I'm sure they calculated even stronger support from other sectors because of the stance that they take with Colin Kaepernick.
But see, now that's a whole thing when we talk about this. Think about this from a teaching and learning standpoint, mm-hmm. you know, back to this. I mean, the issues mm-hmm. here that you and I have just covered in less than 8 minutes here, global mm-hmm. capitalism, racism, protest, mm-hmm. dissent, mm-hmm. You know, support for and or not, being on, quote, riding the rail on both sides. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would you or do you think about this, or do you see today's American education system allowing you, the rebel teacher, to bring this discussion into your classroom?
Well, you know, ultimately what it comes down to, you know, when I'm in my class, it's me and my students. So, you know, we dig into everything. You know, and I think there's an easy connection to make. To the larger world, and I think this could be a great hook to give kids a window to look into the larger world, because it's very difficult to interest them in things like, you know, capitalism and these social issues sometime unless there's a hook like, you know, like Kaepernick and Nike.
Right.
So it's a great opportunity, actually.
So then what we're going to do then is when you teach this lesson and then write about it again for the Busted right. Pencils blog, we're going to come back and we're going to go, okay, Rebel, so tell me, how did it go? How did it work out? Mm-hmm. I mean, did the kids, because I agree with you, right? We have this job, and me being a past social studies teacher mm-hmm. myself, it's like, hey, this stuff can be, you know, it can be horrendously boring to some kids, particularly when we're looking at, right? I mean, yo, global capitalism is, you know, how do you teach that, in fact, and then when students have to live in a world of capitalism, but then talk about, mm-hmm. you know, and so here you're right. I like the idea, the hook. We can call it a hook. We can also say, mm-hmm. hey, here's an example of a person making a decision. Right. But again, let's make no mistakes and go back to where a lot of people continue to want to go. Now all of a sudden Nike is disrespecting the American flag.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, I think more of those issues are sounding off to be much more hollow. The whole disrespect of the flag issue. Now you have the, you know, especially with Boyer. I've been seeing a lot on television about Boyer, the Green Beret, who encouraged Kaepernick to kneel.
Right.
And even now the National Black Police Officers have basically disavowed the National Police Officer stance on Kaepernick. So, you know, I think this whole disrespect of the men in uniform kind of thing is falling apart. You know, I personally come from a family with lots of veterans, old school country boy veterans from Texas and Arkansas. I don't know any veterans that don't support Cap. So I think there's a strong racial element in it as well that needs to be kind of dug up, you know, in order to get to the bottom of it.
Well, we do not have time to get to the bottom of this, and I don't know if we ever will, but we will keep talking to it. Rebel teacher, man, seriously, we're going to be looking for another posting from you pretty soon. But as always, man, thanks for busting some pencils with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
From social activism to social activism, time for your salute to legendary historian and activist Howard Zinn. This is your moment of Zinn.
Human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives.
Thanks to Annalise and Joanna from One Wisconsin Now, Rebel Teacher, and you. I'm Dr. Tim Slecker. Keep busting pencils.
Log on to BustedPencils.com for the latest trending news, blogs, past shows, and more. Subscribe to our podcast in iTunes and Google Play. And get daily updates by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils. This is Fully Leaded Education Talk. Busted Pencils Radio.